Radio TV, Program B, the premier flagship talk show. And joining us today for discussion on Doom 3 and 4, we have host Regulus Tarnsman and Emtrop.
What's up?
And we also have he who was previously interviewed not a couple of weeks ago and who's back, thanks to Boundless Enthusiasm. It's Johnny Rancid, a.k.a. 40 Ounce.
Yes, indeed.
We could just, you know, this. I was considering when I was coming up with what this discussion would be, perhaps it could just be about Doom 3. Why was I lumping Doom 4 into that as well? I mean, for starters, the forum is a classic forum and doesn't really focus enough on Doom 3. I mean, if it did anymore, we could subdivide it into separate different episodes into talking about Pink specifically, but I wanted to bring Doom 4 into it as well because, yes, it's probably going to be a few years before it comes out, but no doubt we have expectations about that game that might have been affected by the way Doom 3 turned out, or from certain modder games that have come out recently, like Hard Reset, or from certain public conceptions. So there are all these interesting discussions we could get into regarding the development of that and how that could pair with our experiences with Doom 3. But first of all, I'd like to get down to brass tacks and discuss the very easy matter. Did we actually like Doom 3, the game? What do we think of it? And what are our expectations of it, if we can remember back that far?
I actually like Doom 3 because I don't have a problem saying it's not, you know, Doom 1 and 2. It's its own separate thing. And as its own separate thing, I think it works well enough that it's not a perfect game, but it's a game that can hold my interest for whatever 4 or 5 hours the campaign is. It's probably longer than that. And it does enough of its own thing that I think, you know, for when it came out and what it was trying to do, it succeeded in that. And no, it's not, you know, classic Doom, but the thing about classic Doom, and I've harped on this a bunch, is it's kind of perfect in its time. Like, it exists entirely because of the era it was made, and the simplicity of the design is what leads to how classic Doom plays, and it's really hard to try and port that into a modern game.
Are you even happy that, I mean, some people are displeased, I guess, as was also the case with the Doom film, that Doom was even in the title? Because it played
so
differently from it.
I don't know of any film. I've never seen any film.
So
what are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Well, I'm not sad, you're probably better off.
No, actually, Alfonso, I'm not one of those people who cares about a franchise's integrity. If there are good entries in it, I play the good stuff, and if there's shitty stuff in it, well, whoop-de-doo, you don't have to play it.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing's gonna be, or watch it, yeah, nothing's gonna be consistently great all the time.
Having said that, I mean, you say you can get a good 4 to 5 hours play out of Doom 3. That's a damn sight shorter than you can the billions that you get out of Doom.
Oh, yeah.
Free replayability factor. And I guess that's more talking about the modding community, which is something we'll get on rather than the game itself.
Yeah.
But it did always sort of amaze me. I mean, clearly the direction they wanted to take Doom 3 was such that it would be basically one theme, one setting, that oppressive sort of scary, claustrophobic atmosphere. But it's amazing how the 2.5D setup of Doom actually made for some more diverse environments. That always amazed me. I mean, did you find a problem with the fact that Doom 3 was all just one setting, constantly, for 12 hours?
No, honestly, no? I didn't. No,
why?
It felt like a place. It had an established theme. It stuck to what it wanted to do. It didn't feel like it was confused in what it wanted to be. And, you know, I think that if there's one, like, you're stuck in one place for, you know, whatever, as long as it doesn't seem lazy, I don't really have a problem with it. Like, another modern game that came out that a lot of people, including myself, have a lot of problems with is Dragon Age 2, which you're stuck for the entire game in a city. And now, I don't have a problem with the concept of an entire tale being told about you being stuck in the city and, you know, the goings-on of the city and whatnot, the single year setting. The problem with that game was they were lazy with it. They had recycled environments inside of that city to where, you know, being stuck in that city felt more like just an excuse for them to make less shit instead of, like, actually trying to establish a setting. Whereas with Doom 3, you got the PDFs, you got all the very different areas that, you know, they're all, you know, hallway A and hallway B, but at least hallway A...
Yeah, talking about recycled elements.
But hallway A and hallway B are at least different. They're not the same thing copied and pasted.
Well, I would agree that they're not the same thing copied and pasted, but, well, I mean, like, it's hard to for it to not be, I guess, samey when, like, it's kind of taking place in, like, what is it, like, the UAC labs on Mars? How much different stuff could you put in there, I guess? I don't know. I actually got tired of it being kind of samey, like in Hell came a little too late.
It was far too brief.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And very, very, very brief. So I was, and still just as dark. When I was playing through Doom 3, I liked it for like the atmosphere that it created for itself and the setting, but I don't know. I think maybe it stretched out probably the beginning part a little too long. There was something that dragged about it, and I'm not sure the gameplay helped.
I mean, on the whole, the three big criticisms that that are held by Doom fans, I guess, both classic and otherwise. If I search outside of Doom World, for example, and also incidentally criticisms that I would hold and agree with. The darkness. I mean, I understand that it's. I mean, there's the whole flashlight duct tape argument, which has been very forgotten on how they're not so duct tape on Mars.
I like that you can switch between the flashlight and your gun.
Yeah, incidentally, I do like that. I
actually like that too. To be honest, like I felt that like, well, since they were going for the whole horror angle, that kind of worked out well. It's like, well, do I keep away the darkness or do I, do I have to shoot things?
Yeah, the darkness would be irrelevant if you could see everything all the time.
Exactly.
Hmm. And that has a major impact on gameplay, of course. You have to, if you don't have your flashlight out, you have your gun out and you can't see, you have to balance between being able to see and shoot your target, of course.
Yeah,
able to see all the stuff without even using the flashlight, at least until, like, the second half of the game where pretty much all the lights were turned off everywhere.
True enough.
Yeah, I just had a button bound to switching between the flashlight and whatever I had. But I think that was in the game, really. Like, you just
probably
put the button
to
the flashlight.
Hit F again, takes you back to the other
one. Yeah.
I should also mention that I made the mistake of playing Doom on Doom 3 on the Xbox, which, to my understanding, I think people have pointed out that, like, entire segments of the game were, like, clipped out of it on the Xbox port.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's one wonderful thing that I noted since doing Doom the way it did, in which we noticed that occasionally authors like Sandy would just turn the lighting down so they can hide ugly shit. That also happens in Doom 3, incidentally, because BFG Edition ramped up the lighting in some quarters, but they didn't fix the texturing, so it was just low resolution, horrible looking textures just laid out for all to see, which is why I guess some people complained that it looked worse than the original. Incidentally, I can't see the difference. We'll get to BFG Edition later, maybe. The other two major criticisms that I hold, and that the greater majority also apparently hold, from what I can see, is the repetitiveness of the way in which monsters were... That they drew out the scare factor in that one way of having them jump out of closets and the like.
Well, yeah, it seemed like that was kind of a staple in original Doom, but
there was enough variety in the way in which they could scare a player. I mean, they relied solely on jump tactics. The atmosphere was there. It didn't really work with the monster placement in that regard, I don't think, very well.
Yeah, either you have the...
really allowed for it. Because in Doom 2 and Doom 1, you got levels like the courtyard and like the suburbs that have that amount of space for you to work with. And there's only so much you can do with really tight corridors. I mean, we played 1024 Claustrophobia, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's not really so much you can do with that either.
Yeah. Mm. That's true enough. And I guess you can only have so many monsters on screen at once, so you can only introduce them, trickle them in one at a time, 2, 3, 5 at most or something. And so closets are the answer. But, you know, for 12 hours, It's just it's a lose-lose situation there, really.
Yeah, you do get tired of it over time. I mean, like, it worked. I mean, like, how much can you do, really, with it? Like, they're just like, oh, we'll have guys teleport in. Awesome. Then we have something just like some panels, like, blow open, and there's, like, another dude, and what else can we throw in? Let's do it again. Yeah. Like, it's like, what the hell? You know, how the hell can you... What more can you, I guess, really do?
And I guess the argument is strengthened by the fact that in all other scary areas of the game, they tried to do as much, there was actually a lot of diversity. I mean, if you looked at everything other than monsters, you had bodies being picked up by ethereal forces and then just moving about the room. They tried everything that they could and succeeded, yeah, like, I thought, in building the atmosphere that way, but they just couldn't do it with the monsters at the same time. Because they, what was explained.
Do you think maybe, like, the abstractness of, say, Doom 1 and Doom 2 lent itself, better to, like, you know, monster closets or teleporting in monsters? Because it was just accepted. We just accepted that it was, like, just a weird abstract world that Doom kind of took place in. But, like, here it's, like, gritty and real, and it's an actual lab and military base. And then it just, I guess, maybe that contributes to the feeling that it gets silly after a while, maybe?
Absolutely, I would agree. A lot of things that work in Doom 1 and Doom 2 only work because they're in Doom 1 and Doom 2.
Right.
That's true enough. In fact,
hand in a modern game, it just wouldn't make sense. Because, I mean, if you were to play a game like Killzone, for example, but you have the classic feature of running extremely fast, you would not be immersed into the plot at all.
Oh, right, yeah.
It wouldn't make sense.
So you think fast movement speed...
would put those kind of things into question. Like, why is everything else so realistic, but I can run really fucking fast and carry 30 weapons at the same time?
Mm-hmm. Yes. The Doom is a product of its time, and that's kind of my position on modern Doom is, like, what you want really doesn't work in a modern, like, you have to really tweak how you're going to apply the, you know, game graphics and stuff like that to where it feels bizarre and arcadey and cartoony. And not, like, in a Serious Sam arcadey kind of way, but in the Doom arcadey kind of way.
Do you think this argument actually could, in a sense, trump the follow-up criticism, the third major one, which is that everything feels very muffled, subdued? Like, the sounds aren't as violent, they're all sort of dinky and dumbed down, suppressed, like that.
I thought the sound cut was kind of tinny. Like, everyone said, like, the sound work was really, really good. And it was, the sound design was really, really good for matching the environment and the atmosphere. But I felt like maybe just the sound mastery was a little bit weird. Like, for some reason, it just sounded tinny and very trebly in... anything, like headphones to speakers to what I'm using right now, like, you know, these big floor standers. I don't know, but like it just seemed very tinny. And there was one sound effect that I really, really, really hated, and that was like one of the footsteps was like, it wasn't just like a clop, clip, clop of like the marine shoes. Yeah, there was like a weird scuffle or something like that. It was so harsh that I actually replace that sound with another footstep in order for it to not come up again.
That's impressive, Matt.
Really? Yeah, chainsaw against metal.
I don't remember any of that. I remember two things about Doom 3's sound, and that's that I really liked the grenade throwing sound and the plasma reload sound.
Wow, that's almost damning it with faint praise, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Those are the only sounds I remember.
When I came up with the criticism, I was more thinking along the lines of, do you think that dumbed down and muffled sound actually complemented the sort of atmosphere they were going through? But then Matt's sort of criticizing on a purely production ground. Like, it just sounds bad.
No. Maybe the mastery, but, like, I mean, like, mastering, sorry, but the selection and the general soundtrack of Doom 3 was really good. The sounds really matched the environment. Really,
yeah. Was there was actually some music in Doom 3? Yeah, there was. Very, very sparingly. I guess it was sort of, it rode the boundary between ambient and music. Yeah. There was certainly beats there. And actually, those parts, actually, quite, when I played it the first time, actually were quite scary. There's that one area I can't remember. Fuck if I can remember the level it's on. I can never remember any of these levels except for
Hell. Oh, maybe it was... Maybe it was, the, maybe it was the in metal military slash lab base.
Oh, yeah, that's the one. You just narrow it down an additional 12 maps for me. Yeah. No, is this
actually,
one, there's
this a, one
map for you?
A level name generator online. I Googled it by accident looking for name generators. And I found it. And it's like Delta Labs and like Epsilon Secret Closet. And you get all kinds of like weird stuff like that.
Yeah, there's one segment where you go to pick up a chain gun down a long hallway. And it wouldn't be music. It's interesting because the way in which the sound and music is used very sparingly in Doom 3, that means that when it is used, I think it's actually used very well. It sort of stands out, catches you off guard. There's that one instance where you're going down a corridor which is lined with red lights, and then there's a spotlit chain gun in the middle, which is always... That was very interesting to me because the way they spotlight the chain gun seemed very, on a very pantomime almost, like yeah, this is definitely a trap. It's obviously a trap. The demons are setting it up for you and you're going to take the bait sort of thing.
Yeah,
then I picked it up and then the track would just amplify and would turn into this almost sickening sort of rhythmic thudding constantly. Well, that was used very well. So I thought in the sound department, that's where they succeeded. But I would have liked some more hard-hitting oomph and violence when it actually kicked in rather than the sort of tinny production sounds that we ended up getting.
Yeah. I mean, that part felt like they had like a cinematographer on staff that was just like, it's like, you know what we need? We need like this, like a vignetted shot of that chain gun there and the player goes up to it and grabs it and then all of a sudden like literally hell breaks loose.
Well, I was actually, there was one point when Tomsman was speaking there, I thought it would be an excellent segue to talk about Doom 4 and expectation. Did we actually have any expectations, if we can remember back that far, of Doom 3 before we went into play?
Nope.
No, I don't remember. I remember just seeing pictures in magazines, and that's when I knew Doom 3 existed. So,
I mean, certainly I think the anticipation for this upcoming sequel is much less than it was for Doom 3. Would you agree with that?
Well, for Doom 4?
Yeah.
I think that maybe because of cynicism, I mean, with the people that had, like, criticized Doom 3, or the people that have played Doom 1 and 2, and that have played Doom 3, and are probably like, I hope it doesn't ruin it further. Yeah, like, kind of like that. But, I don't know, if it's anything like Rage, it could be fun. Like, it really could be.
Never played Rage in the Revive, incidentally. That was a game that I didn't turn my head twice to.
I played it. I didn't finish it though, but I've been playing it, and it is very fun. I think that's what maybe its gameplay was what I think Doom 3 should have been if it wanted to keep with like the action parts of the same type of action of Doom or Doom 2. But it's just, you know, it's modernized. It's you know, it could have like zombie guys like, you know, ducking behind things and whatever. Like coincidentally, or is it coincidentally? I don't know, wrong word to use. I actually liked Quake 4 when that came out.
Sacrilege.
I did.
I did. Quake I actually liked 4 it. Too.
Yeah, it was quick. It was that you shot things and I didn't really like the weird hovercraft part of it, but it was still really, really
segments.
Yeah, it was a little weird, but like everything else was just like shoot things and whatever, and it was just fun. That was actually fun, and I was like, oh, why couldn't Doom 3 be like this? Also, how many of you guys actually played the mission pack for Doom 3?
Oh, well, the BFG edition. I think Thomas was actually playing it as we speak.
Yeah, well, not the. The actual mission pack, what is it called? Resurrection of Evil, is that what it's called?
Oh, right, the actual expansion. Yeah, that's a good point, because I was about to say with regards to Quake 4, it's like Doom 3 with the heat turned up, and that's sort of
it is.
Removed. And
it really
Resurrection
is.
Of Evil is basically, okay, they dumbed down on the atmosphere a little bit and just pumped up the action a lot more.
Yeah, and they added a gravity gun.
Yes, and they added a half-life
gravity gun. Yeah.
The grabber gun, they called it.
Oops.
What? Yeah.
Oh, man.
It worked really well. It worked really well.
Bailing on the stream. It's bailing out. Yeah, no, that's an example of a good sequel. It was a bit shabby around the edges. I thought could have been polished a bit more, but otherwise very good. Yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised that it took the gameplay kind of like away from Doom 3's like slow paced, like, oh no, is an imp about to get me? So then shoot it. But it actually added something different. Like who made it? Nerve Software or that's Nerve? I think so. And then they heard the criticism that was leveled at Doom 3, and they're like, well, maybe we need to win these people back just a little bit. So, like, they made it a little less like dark areas, but like added a more, I guess, more of an action element. And like the lost souls, yeah, the bullshit enemies. I actually felt that it was more fun.
I think they would agree with that. I think they actually intended to harken a little bit back to classic gameplay, which is mirrored in a couple of things, not least of all, of which rather is that Lost Soul inclusion. They actually went back to the original design for that. I thought maybe that was just a hint they were reverting to classic. Incidentally, Townsman is now playing through Lost Missions, which is the second add-on pack, I guess we could call it. And what's his opinion of it? I mean, it's very short. I imagine he's probably halfway through it at this point.
It's Doom. I'm enjoying it. I mean, it's just shoot things with guns and they die. But it does remind me of one of the biggest failings I feel with Doom 3 is that while it does have a, you know, very large selection of enemies, they don't have, like, they're not very unique like the Doom enemies are. Like, every enemy, well, mainly because of Doom 2, but most of the enemies in Doom kind of fill a very specific role to where, you know, you have something to do each thing, and they feel unique.
Right. Right. And that's very interesting, considering also that the AI for the Doom monsters are practically the same. So too are they, basically, for in Doom 3, except it stands out as being something particularly bad when you put it into a modern setting like that. It's one of those examples of things that's carried over into Doom 3, which just doesn't work. AI for the monsters is particularly woeful, I thought.
But on the for contrast, I liked the AI in, say, one of its other games, Rage, because like they actually had enemies which would like climb up things and dodge your attacks and stuff like that. And like, you know, where was that in Doom 3?
The ceiling wasn't scripted.
Yeah, it was like, it just lacked that action element. It just, But like, you know, like that was my disappointment. It was a different change of pace, but I don't know. It just lacked something.
It didn't retain the elements from the original Doom in the right way. Like, that didn't translate properly.
Right, like when I think Doom, I think of it more in gameplay terms than setting or bullshit story or whatever.
Also, yeah, I'm disappointed that the Doom 3 story wasn't bullshit enough. Like, it was very disappointing. It rode that middle ground for me. It needed to be a heck of a lot worse or a heck of a lot better.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I think that that Doom 3 and Doom 4 coming out needs to just be like Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon levels of like cheesy 80s story, pretty much. Like that's what Doom story always needs to be. Like, generic, you know, corrupt corporation develops generic evil technology, hell invades. Oh, no.
Yeah, like some guy, like, actually tries to create, like, some kind of medicine that'll help the world, but it turns everyone into zombies instead. Oh, let's cover this up, send it to some remote location on the planet, or dump it in the middle of the ocean. What could possibly go wrong? And then, like, horrible things start happening over there. And
yeah, giant cosmic crabs decide to descend from the... Yeah, okay.
send in the Marines. Oh, no, I'm the only one left. How did this happen? Guess I gotta shoot myself out.
Doom 3 really needed, like, Z-grade actors hired to do shitty FMV cutscenes.
This sounds way too attractive. If we're not careful, we could get back to discussion on the film.
I didn't even see that film.
Oh yeah, because it doesn't exist. That's right. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Let's be honest. So let's segue properly into Doom 4 here and our expectations of it. Do we have any? I will actually confess that I haven't really thought about it that much. Not least of all, I guess, because it's going to be several years away at this point.
I glanced at the Doom 4 general thread to see what people are talking about, and I think I've heard that like they scrapped the entire project couple of times, started from scratch. And I don't know if that says a whole lot about whether it's going to be good or not. I think that's a worse thing than it is a good thing.
I imagine my expectations certainly shifted a little bit when I read the headline in that article that was linked there, which was Call of Doom. Apparently, it was Axon restarted because the direction it was heading in could be likened to, clearly would not have played like Call of Duty, but... Wouldn't have pleased many fans, I guess.
Well, which fans would it please? The Call of Duty fans or the Doom fans? Like, I mean, like, would
neither,
it, like...
honestly.
Neither?
No.
Maybe.
Anyway.
In my experience making Doom levels, the good stuff comes from having a plan, not just having an idea.
Right.
So, the fact that they're, like, restarting from scratch, like, two or three times shows that I don't think they really have a good plan and setting.
Indicate that, I guess, they're determined to get it right.
Yeah. It does, but I don't know. As a person who does generally restart a bunch of things when they aren't going too well, it's a bad sign. It's kind of, I mean, if think about another game. Like, you guys played Team Fortress 2 at all?
I've seen people play it.
Development cycle? Because originally, the Team Fortress came up for Quake, and that was, like, you know, the class-based capture the flag or other types of gameplays sort of thing. And then it was ported to Half-Life, and that was made a mod for Half-Life. And then when Team Fortress 2 was being created, it was already starting to be created with that, like, kind of realistic type of thing, but then Valve, like, I think it was probably like 5 years later down the line when they started like developing it, they were like, wait, this doesn't really lend well to the atmosphere of Team Fortress, really. I mean, it's like, what, two warring factions with the same classes and they're just capturing a flag or shooting each other or whatever? This is crazy. So they changed the entire setting, made it, like, you know, kind of hokey and corny.
They had a pass.
Yeah, well, that was way later in terms of, I guess not replayability, but lasting whatever. But like, but they were like, let's just change around the art direction and all the rest of the assets and whatever, and like just to fit its weird hokey theme, and it worked. But that was like one reboot because they were like, oh, this sucks. Brainstorm, we have an idea. But if anybody has to like restart an idea like two or three times, I'm wondering if, or like we're like three or four times, I don't even know if it's even like worth it. They could just say, oh, we canceled Doom 4, we're working on a different IP, and it could just be an action game and it could be fun, you know, like Rage could have been a scrapped Doom 4 and then remade, you know. I mean, at some point
really would be disappointed if that were the case.
Yeah, really. I mean, yeah, like, if they said, well, Doom 4 is not going to happen, you'll have people go, oh, that's a shame. So what else can we play, you know? Like, what...
That's what you got lined up for us. Exactly right. And it's, like I said, it comes back to what I said before. I think people have just gone off the boil. I think there's just a mild sort of intrigue as to how it might turn out at this point. There's only really a... people certainly, I don't think, will be clamoring over each other to get the title.
Yeah, I mean, if I may also provide another point, Duke Nukem Forever. That game,
no need.
That game was.
That game was, you can just leave it at that if you like.
That game was changed engine so many times, stayed in development hell for a decade, and in the end we have whatever came out and that I played through all the way to the end, but I didn't pay for it. I did not pay for it.
Doom 4 just doesn't happen.
Incidentally, yeah, I think maybe when you get to the end of a development cycle, like something like Duke Nukem Forever, I think maybe the how many times? I mean, we know it was started several times. How many times did it change hands? Was it just once?
I think it changed a company's hands once, but I think a bunch of different publishers fed money into it. I guess it was also like maybe fund of George Broussard's World of Warcraft habit. I don't know. It's probably where all the money went, or hookers. I don't know. Probably there too.
Hookers and cocaine, man. Well, has Doom 4 restarted more than once? Because like the way I read it, they like just decided that no, we were going in a crappy direction. We're just gonna not do this.
Maybe. Actually, also, hang on. To clarify, me not paying for it means my family had family members buy it for me for my birthday. So that was.
Yeah.
Before Tonsman's Twitch.
No yeah, piracy.
Hey, man! I just paid $30 for Bloodwings, fucking Bumpkin's Head's Revenge. So you can pay for fucking Duke Nukem. Duke Nukem Forever? I'd rather play Duke Nukem Forever any day of the week.
Well, incidentally, the fact that you paid $30 for that product, it just makes the playthrough all the more.
It does. Yeah.
It just makes it better.
Anyways, no, I think that... thinking of anticipation for sequels with like Doom 4 and how much people are building up for... I mean...
Dangerous Thing?
No, yes and no, yeah, but I mean, most of the anticipation comes from, like, what you, like, know the game's going to be. Like, anytime, like, a new Call of Duty game comes out, it's like, well, it's going to be a bunch of new maps to play fun deathmatch with my frat bros, whatever, you know. That's, you know, the majority of people who play Black Ops or, you know, that, you know, kind of casual, just going to play some multiplayer DM for a little while or zombies or whatever the heck. And... they don't really care what the game's called, as long as it's those things. So where, you know, that's the other reason why Call of Duty is still attached to the name. Like, Modern Warfare was originally just Modern Warfare, and they're like, oh, we gotta attach Call of Duty to the name for it, because we don't, you know, we want to use brand recognition. And yeah. I really think brand recognition in this day and age... not really that much of a driving force anymore because of, you know, the internet and how much information people have on games and development and all these other aspects to where brand recognition to where, like, if you're going to make a game called Doom 4 just because you want to, you know, capitalize on Doom's brand recognition, especially on something like Doom, which has very poor brand recognition, it doesn't need to be called Doom 4 if it's not, you know, Doom 4.
Exactly, but I think I kind of disagree though, Tarns, with your dare I say a little bit ideal brand recognition actually works from a marketing standpoint, and that's what basically Call of Duty is. It works quite a bit through its brand marketing. I would think. Maybe this just sounds. I guess this is just the. Maybe the rantings of a cynical person, but the brand recognition does help, at least when you're trying to suck more people into it, or, like, you know, like put them under, like, one banner of a bunch of people that play kind of a game, like, kind of like appeals to, like, a social validation, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's what branding does. But also it's really good for you. If what's Call of Duty on there, you know, it involves shooting things, probably other people or whatever. It has a broad theme of war attached to it and stuff
but
like
the
that.
Thing
and
is that thing, every Call of Duty game is still a Call of Duty game. It's not like with
right.
Like, Doom 3, where it's not Doom, it's just its own little thing. You know, yeah. if Call of Duty Black Ops 9 was suddenly a game about unicorns and rainbows, and I made a game that was the real Call of Duty Black Ops 9, and I called it Dumb Shit McFuckstain Plays This Game, Dumb Shit McFuckstain Plays This Game would sell a billion copies, because people don't care what it's called, they care if it's fun.
Well,
I guess that's exaggeration to prove a point.
How do you explain to your friends that you play a game called Dumb Shit McFuckstain Plays This Game?
Because it's fun!
You guys gotta play this game, Dumb Shit McFuckstain. How do you even, you can't even, like, advertise it in public without getting, like, dirty looks.
Yeah, that would definitely be, like, a closet game. You wouldn't tell anybody.
But brand recognition...
Everybody would be secretly playing it, but nobody would know each other plays it.
Brand recognition only goes as far as the product still applies, like, it appeals to the lowest common denominator of what it's trying to be. Like, you still have brand recognition on Star Wars, because even in Star Wars movies I hate, they still have enough of Star Wars, you know? You're going to expect to see lightsabers, you're going to expect to see grand, you know, space battles. These are the things that, at the core, the second they're gone, it doesn't matter if the movie's called Star Wars, people aren't going to want to see it.
Right.
We have to recognize, though, however, that at this point, Id is, ZeniMax is in a bit of a tight spot, I guess, because they need to make sure that Doom 4 is a game that works. I think it's something we have to remember. Oh, because if that fails, then they may... would I be right in saying that they're looking at prospects of going under or something?
Yeah.
They don't really have anything else to work off.
From a game development shop? No, not the ZeniMax.
Id Software.
Yeah, well,
ZeniMax has fucking everything.
ZeniMax is Id. I mean, does that...
Yeah, they're going to... I think they're probably going to say, you guys aren't going to make games anymore. You guys are going to be our tech division. And yes. I could see that happening.
You could definitely see that happening, yeah.
And honestly, at this point, you know... John Carmack just wants to make engines. Let John Carmack make that.
Yeah, and build rockets.
And virtual headsets.
See, and, you know, that's the other thing about where, you know, you got to have the level designers and that stuff that just, I don't really see it with Id anymore. Like, the people who really come up with intricate and creative levels. And, you know, not that those people haven't gone off and done their own stupid shit. I mean, as somebody who has played American McGee's Bad Day LA and John Romero's...
Oh my god, Guy really?
Oh, I tell you, he's a masochist. He gets off on
this. I've played both of them, and I could say that that Id's current lineup of games far exceeds what those two went off to do. But, you know, the magic combination that made Doom 1 and Doom 2 work, it isn't really there with...
Well, it can't be. It can't be simply for the size and the fact that it's no longer an indie company.
I'm starting to think
20-somethings playtesting a game with no sound and then just making the sound effects themselves as they shoot zombies there, that sort of setup.
Yeah, pretty much. But well, I'm playing a game with no sound right now.
Fucking donkey shit.
What I mean to say is that all of Id's recent games are, like, more of a tech demo than a game itself. And
yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I hear that. Mm.
And that's what John Carmack wants to make, you know, make engines. You know,
well, I think the argument was that if Rage was the tech demo and Doom 4 was going to be using the same engine, then they would go to use that, make that game better, focus on the gameplay, and make it less.
Although I will say, Rage is fun. It's fun. It's not amazing, superbly groundbreaking, but it is fun.
Demos go, it did it better than Doom 3. Is that you saying?
Yes, very much so. Now that I think about it, wasn't there somebody from our little amateur Doom community that is trying to make an actual game that isn't Doom, or like is Doom like
Christmas?
Is it? No, I was thinking.
He's making Doombringer. I'm not sure.
Oh,
that's like a mod of Rack, isn't it?
No, it's using its own thing because would like unfuck Rack, and he was like, "Fine, whatever, I'll go use my."
He was the one I'm thinking of. Yeah, he is the one I'm thinking of. Carnival making.
Oh, no. Right, Rack. Yeah.
What was it called? Rack? Brack? Something?
Rack.
Rack. Yeah.
I've played Rack, and Rack is a very, what's the word I'm looking for?
Careful, Thompson.
Good. Good. That's how we'll describe it. The not good.
Well, it seems to take a change of direction.
Not good?
Is that kind of like saying the shit? Or not really.
No, the shit is to say it is... Oh, I see what you're saying. No. No, he's not saying that.
No.
He's what he says. No pragmatic.
Although, yes, Carnival has responded to the criticism and actually has changed directions, it looks like, which I approve of greatly.
Just to answer the question that I asked 15 minutes ago directly, what do we actually think that Doom 4 is going to end up as at this point?
Maybe nothing. I don't know.
I can tell you what I want it to be. I have no idea what it's going to be.
Do it.
Well, I have sort of an idea of what it's going to be, and I'm kind of expecting not to like it. I don't expect that any company is really going to do something that's so radically different and, you know, really tries to break any trends. I think they're just kind of following the rules because they know what people buy and they'll keep doing that.
Yeah, that's my fear too.
Incidentally, what people want and what people buy is going to pair up somewhat with what the public, the wider public.
I hope so, but in my experience, especially just reading on Doom forums about people talking about these new games that are coming out, they tend to talk about these games and they end up buying them and they talk about what they don't like about them. And the truth of the matter is that they spent the money. The company got their money and they got the game, and whether they like it or not is irrelevant because they have the game.
Although are you reading this on the Doom World forums, 40 Ounce?
Yeah, mostly. That's my argument, and pretty much.
I would argue
talk about a new game I don't like.
I would actually argue, though, that's more of the product of the group of people that are playing it. Because, like, let's face it, we're fans of Doom. We really like Doom, and no other game is going to really bring that back. And maybe Serious Sam, or maybe games like Serious Sam or whatever comes close, but it's like it's still that different type of like fighting hordes of enemies, completely open, almost mindless shooter. It's not like it's never going to be like there's an area and then you find, you know, keys and open doors, which was like, you know, old, very, very, very old school gameplay element kind of.
Critical difference there, by the way. Something else I was going to note just previously, which was that seems to be increasingly, or at least from what I've read, a big public opinion of what Doom actually is, how they remember it to be, lumping it in with sort of Serious Sam and Painkiller style gameplay, forgetting the fact that it's non-linearity and it allows for very more intricate and diverse gameplay elements and stuff like that.
There's a vast majority of people that have played Doom, but, you know, don't go back to it.
And building upon what 40 Ounce just said, like a just making that they could be building off the public perception that way, and that's the sort of product that we're going to end up with, something that's more akin to that.
That's something I haven't even thought of. Wow.
Yeah, one of the concrete facts that we know to be the case about Doom 4, something that Carmack said, is that you're going to be able to witness this many enemies on screen. That could be good if you're, you know, if you're hoping it's going to turn out in a similar way to the original Doom, or if you're aware of that more common public perception of what Doom actually is, that could be a bad statement.
Yeah, it could be.
I'm going to be controversial. I'd much rather play Call of Duty than Serious Sam. I hate that type of gameplay.
Promise not to kill you in your sleep.
No, Serious Sam dragged on for me, too. I wanted to like it, but it did drag on. Couple of fights were like, man, this is an awesome opening to the game, and it's just like, it's the same thing, but a little bit harder this time. And then the next level, like, the same thing, but a little bit harder. we'll throw in a rocket launcher this time. And it's I don't know. I couldn't find any of the secrets. They were really hard.
Some of them are really goofy, though, but I like that. Yeah.
Like pills that run away from you.
Oh, no, that's just not what I think of when I think of Doom. Doom's more about layout and architecture and, you know...
No, of course, yeah, but we're talking about the impact that we think that public perception might have on Doom 4.
Not everybody's that real analytical. It's like, well, when it's like what your brain would associate it with. Car crash people think like, you know, a loud noise or like like a bunch of like metal sounds and whatever. But then like they don't really, yeah, but they don't really like know all the details, what everybody did or what they were doing, like if they were involved in the accident or whatever. They just like, oh, there was big noise. Oh, saw my airbags deployed.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh man, what the heck was that? But I guess, well, that's more of a sudden thing. Actually, it's more like if you've ever been to like maybe Disneyland or a theme park, what elements do you remember from that? Do you remember like, oh, the thrill of like certain roller coasters or rides or whatever, or the sights that you saw?
And I was hungry and I was slightly sick.
Exactly. Exactly. We're only going to, from the whole package, we're going to take from it the little elements that, you know, stick with our heads. And for Doom, it was the fast gameplay and the shooting things. And that's what a lot of games were also marketed as, like, you know, gore and the guns and whatever. Maybe that's what people want to relive. Like, and but all of us stuck around with Doom because we actually genuinely liked the gameplay and the look and the technology sometimes. But and I guess marketing just saw what people wanted to re-experience, and the game designers that made games similar to that feeling saw that sort of thing be successful. So, I don't know where I was going with this. I guess maybe if Doom 4 existed, it would be a lot more like of that hectic gameplay. If they wanted it to be a success versus, well, I got to find this key now. Better find the door that the key goes to and like, oh no, another area. Like it's games have just changed since then, I guess.
That's true. At the same time, I'm thinking back to certain elements of classic Doom and how not necessarily all of them would fail if you put them into a modern setting. We saw examples of the Doom 3 in which they didn't work. You can do them differently. I mean, we are seeing sort of, in some games, non-linearity creeping back in. And people really do like these sort of sandbox games that go on at the moment.
Introduced
me recently to Borderlands 2, which I enjoy very much. A very different sort of game, but I think it's perfectly possible to sort of integrate that sort of setup of layout that Doom has into a modern setting and make it work, make people feel excited for that sort of thing. Want
absolutely.
To go on.
I feel like a game like Doom 1 and 2 can be remade. And it's I think if a company were to do it, it'd be taking a huge risk, and it would require a lot of planning. You can't recycle any of the same stuff that we've been using lately in order to create something like Doom 1 and 2.
But I think an element that would really help it out would be it can't take itself seriously, because Borderlands certainly doesn't.
Absolutely.
We need some grinning Keiko demons.
Oh, yeah, big toothy smiles.
Yeah, like, the thing about like a lot of modern games, they do take themselves way too seriously, and everything's very cinematic, like you're role-playing in a movie set. What I'd really like to see is games just be games, you know? And it's we've gotten so distant from that lately.
That's why I like Serious Sam.
A movie that I watched recently a couple months ago was Batman Forever. And Arnold Schwarzenegger is Mr. Freeze. And
that's Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin.
Yeah, I couldn't help but be absolutely in love with this movie because the entire dialogue was catchphrase. And
yeah, it was.
so colorful, just flashing lights everywhere, and it just like it wasn't brown and dreary and melancholic like what we're used to seeing in movies these days. I mean, it doesn't have a very in-depth plot. There was just a very basic, you know, Batman against the villain, and there was some internal conflict between Batman and Robin about how Batman wasn't letting him do his own thing. And it was so simplistic, but I was in love with it. It felt right. It felt like a Batman movie to me more than The Dark Knight that came out a couple of years ago.
Did you like the 60s Batman versus the kind of like the Frank Miller rewrite Batman, where he's not dark and brooding? He's like, we gotta fight the Joker again, old chum. You know, that whole type of 60s Batman.
I would have to check it out. I actually didn't, because when I saw the movie, it just happened to be on TV.
'60s Batman is
where
like
it's
that.
At.
Yeah. I don't know. I like
it's
the dark brooding Batman.
Smart.
Myself. oh no, it's the Commissioner again. Batman. Oh, the Joker has struck again.
Good times.
It's like that corny.
It all depends on what you're trying to make. With like Batman, I like my Batman, like I like my modern FPS, like, you know, cinematic and realistic. Whereas like with something like, I don't know, Superman, yeah, mm-hmm. I want it to be cheesy and like old school Doom.
I'm afraid Zack Snyder is directing the Man of Steel, so
Speaking of which, I mean, the new Rise of the Triad game is supposedly bringing that old school stuff back. Like, it's got the
right.
Like the moving platforms that are going up and down, and like crazy explosions everywhere, and all that kind of stuff. And
yeah,
I think they're going on the right track, but I'd really like to see video games break out of the brown pattern. I'd really like to see a lot more color and blood and explosions to the point of like absolute ridiculousness.
Yeah, if they brought back the Flame Wall and the Excalibat, I think we're in good shape.
I think they've done that. I think there's... I've taken a look at some gameplay shots from Rise of the Triads. They seem to be going down that route. And honestly, this is yet another piece of evidence to show that if Doom 4 wants to go down that route of trying to bring back the sort of the gameplay elements that we like to think are unique to Doom at the time... but which could work in a modern setting, I think this is the best time to do it. Honestly, they could ride a wave. There's a lot of modern games that have come out recently that suggest that really, actually, the player base is ready for that sort of thing if they want to go down that route.
Especially with all these like iPhone games and stuff that are like overly colorful and like even they're really colorful and like they don't have like these really like high tech engines. But they do well enough to deliver the kind of, you know, experience that you want to see.
Yeah, I was going to say it was more like a lot of indie titles that are coming out which are just like different but see a lot of success, or
right.
Like they use elements from like older games, like, well, let's take like Super Meat Boy for example, like it was like it was Nintendo hard. And but it did it in such a way that you weren't completely discouraged if you like lost a whole lot. So there is a market for games that like use elements from the past but like smartly today with the knowledge of what succeeded years ago and what succeeds now. Uh-huh. If it's really bizarre and off the wall, it can't take itself seriously. But if it's like meant to be a simulation, it has to. And that's the kind of the balance that needs to be achieved with games that need to be, you know, fun. And like, you know, it doesn't really have to be gritty or realistic. It just has to be fun, and the ambience and the setting has to be fun. And you know, it really, really helps.
I'd absolutely agree.
I don't think Doom 4 is going to be the game that does that, but I would have a lot of appreciation for that company if they did make that, if they did take that risk.
Yeah.
Here is the critical thing about the indie boom games that are, you know, old school and fun like that, is resource-wise, like, the technology in those games, you know, corresponds to the feel that game goes for. You know, if Super Meat Boy had a very AAA title feel to it, like if it was, you know, not that Nintendo kind of style of graphics,
right, yeah.
Wasn't like, it would feel totally out of place. It'd be jarring and horrible. And that's kind of...
Yeah, that's why I don't expect that Doom 4 is going to be that, because it's not... Because as Doom 3 as a predecessor, it's not going to make sense.
Right.
Yeah.
And AAA games have kind of, you know... There's an expectation of polish and like not quality in terms of subjective enjoyment, but quality in terms of like technical levels of what, you know, goes into a AAA game that a lot of indie games don't have to worry about, and they're able to get away with making, you know, a lot of different shit that you just wouldn't see from a AAA company. Like, I mean, when Ubisoft came out with Blood Dragon, people were like, what? Somebody's really, a AAA company's really gonna make this? Okay. Like, it's just something you don't expect, that level of, you know, we're just gonna have fun from a company that they really don't want to make risks, because video games cost a lot of money to make nowadays, and you know, they're a company with employees that if they have a flop, a lot of people get fired, and they don't want to make that risk.
I would like to think that because Doom 4 is sort of up against the ropes for it. It's their like the one major franchise that they that's going to see them through to the next generation. If all goes well, they'd be inclined to take risks. And but I mean, something that also could be a reason for them to just play it safe.
Yeah.
And so that's, I'm on the fence. I don't eagerly await it, but I'm apprehensive.
But. No, a lot of great, you know, entertainment products, games, films, whatnot, have all been made on, you know, this is our last ditch attempt, let's try and do something different, and, you know, I don't want to say that's always how it's going to work out, because it's not. We remember the success stories, not the countless failures.
Right.
Well, I think we do that as well, honestly, especially in your case, Tom's been having played Bad Day LA and Bloodwings.
But... those are just, you know, the ones that are bad enough to get remembered. There are tons of other
The middle of the road mediocrity. Yeah.
Yeah, middle of the road doesn't ever really get remembered. Although it's like, you know, it's like, hey, have you ever played this game? Oh yeah, that was fun. And that's like where the discussion just goes. Like there would like Doom is remembered because it was new and it was in 3D and whatever, but and it was fun. And everybody played it, and everybody bogged down their office networks with Deathmatch. But it was a huge thing. But like, you know, all the games in between, nobody really remembers. But they also do remember, like, really, really, really terrible titles.
Yeah.
Let's move on now to discussion of the modding capabilities of Doom 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
We obviously know that there's a... What's that? Sorry,
I'm scared of editing in 3D. I think that was my biggest turnoff from working on Rack. I really wanted to help Carnival with that because I had a lot of ideas for the kind of direction his video game is going. But I'm scared of editing in 3D. I won't go any further than Doom 2.
Nice. Part of me thinks that Carnival wouldn't maybe want anybody else to actually work on it. That's the impression I get from him.
He had a bunch of people helping him out, and some of them quit, and some of them were just like, no, we're not doing this, some other stuff like that. That was like, oh, okay.
Every game needs a bit of controversy, right?
It does. Yeah. So, editing for Doom 3, I think actually, I wouldn't say it has a ton of potential, but one thing it might exist, and I've just never played it, is more outdoors on Mars. For Doom 3.
Yeah, there were honestly only two areas that felt like a big, that weren't a big departure. Any sort of departure at all when playing through the game is when I got to go out into the exteriors, was this bad dash to pick up air and get inside again.
Yeah, you couldn't stay out there. You couldn't, like, stop and smell the roses. It was just, like dash from, like, one airlock to the next airlock, and then... Well, so to speak, there's no roses there on Mars, but like, I mean, you have to go from one airlock to the next, and it's just like, oh, this looks great. Well, I'm running out of air, and then you got to run into the airlock, and then oh, you're saved, and then there's no window. There's no window to look out at the Mars landscape at that point. It's just like, yeah, like they missed something.
Mm-hmm. Then of course,
yeah, like just presentation wise.
I would definitely agree with that. I only brought up the fact that Mars, because I was looking out a window at Mars when I said that. And also, I take offense to the accusation that there are no roses, because I worked my ass off to plant those Martian roses.
Did you? Well, I do apologize. You can accept the apology for me on behalf of all of the gardening team there at Mars.
Okay.
Roses. Elite. Thanks for that. But yeah, we have one large project that's has been in production for 10 years, I think. And I think I'm actually right with that figure, and that is Team Features Phobos, and that's been through a tumultuous development period, of course. And
what is this?
Team Features Phobos.
Yeah, somebody's trying to remake. I know that's something I do know because I looked at screenshots of it like once. Somebody's trying to make Doom 1 in Doom 3.
Like, I think I've seen that. Yeah. And from what I played of it, yeah, the screenshots were good. And I think they released like a demo or a beta of like the first episode. And like I played it for a little bit, and I was like, something just doesn't really fit here. Like it just, I don't know. Like I see so many projects that want to like remake or demake a bunch of like places or a bunch of other like levels in games and stuff like that, but they don't ever really work well, or they don't want to sacrifice really to make it work most of the time. Nah. I don't know. I thought it was merely okay.
I think you're talking about a different project there, Matt.
Are we?
Yeah.
So it was a
Skyboss is a one that's.
Yeah, I think I've heard
about a Doom 1 remake project that is a. That's been released, I think, some time ago, but the kind of one that's still in effect has only recently entered Phase 2. I'm kind of surprised that you've not heard about it.
Are you thinking of, like, the classic Doom episode where they remade all the Doom 1 levels?
No, not at all. I actually thought this was it was common knowledge that this project was... it was, you know, it constantly crops up in the Doom World news thread and in the Doom 3 threads, constantly churning out screenshots and giving development updates, and it's
they're adding like the Arachnatron and like a couple other
one, yeah, correct.
I could have sworn that they actually released a demo, but this was like years ago. But I could have sworn they actually released something playable. What did I play?
Did you play?
I don't know, but. I'm being attacked by a giant elephant-like thing that has a TV for a trunk, and it's
that thing.
That's good. I like that. That's the sort of humor that they should have done. That's just another example of Resurrection of Evil going the right route and reverting to sort of classic humor and the like. They did it with the Lost Soul. They did it again with the TV for the face.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Team Futures Phobos, I mean, that's... I think that's what, if you were to ask most people who are aware of that project, how many mods they know for Doom 3 that really stand up as being something worth downloading, worth taking a look at, that's probably the only one they could list. There are a couple of good maps being made by Kaiser, I think. I could probably only count them on the hand. Although, there was like interesting a mod released recently called Endarchy, which is a 3-map set. Which surprised me with the direction it took, because it actually went for an underground, like, Victorian sewers kind of approach, which is very interesting, sort of grungy, dark. I mean, I think with Doom 3, its engine, you're pretty much confined to doing grungy underground settings. You can't really do outdoors very well. But that's an interesting direction it took, and it's actually a very good map, and I recommend everyone go and play it. It's called Endarchy, like Danarchy, except, you know.
I'll check it out. But I would disagree about the grunginess, because that Phobos project we were just talking about, I saw some, like, screenshot of, like, a plaza in that map set, and it was all, like a Space DM5, Space Tokyo style, like, neon lights and stuff. It looked really cool.
Yeah, I remember seeing a lot of blue stuff in there. Not so much brown and black.
Yeah, and that's actually, I think, something that would look really cool in Doom, is, like, a very high-tech, almost, you know, like, neon... everything spiffy and sleek interiors.
Sweet. Well, I mean, like, downtown
Tokyo?
Can't
look...
I think you could always remake Daikatana if you like.
Too much contrast.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We should just remake Daikatana.
I would think that, like, if you're going to make a neon area, like, it just can't look like... we're trying to get colored lighting down in our engine type of look. Like, it has to, you know, it still has to look nice. It can't be like, our engine supports colored lighting Quake 2 look, where it's like, where they try to do colored lighting, it's like splashed in one color, and it just looks weird, and I don't know. Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that I told a fib there. I mean, I guess if I was to ask people which mods they were aware of, they would also list that that Hex, and I think it's Order of Chaos or something.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't play it though, but
Dark Mod. But I mean, they really have to be polished, don't they? If you want to get it noticed.
I think that's a product though of the engine, because that's the thing that deters me from actually making stuff in Doom 3, is that in order to make something of a decent length, there's a lot more of a time investment and a testing investment that has to be put into it. And like Doom, it's a lot easier. Like, you're basically working in two dimensions, and if you're going to add new graphics, they didn't have to have like normal or specular mapping in order to look decent. An obstacle is probably the workload involved, I would say, in terms of modding. But like, you need teams of people to actually make something like really good or at least noteworthy.
Right, and it's very difficult to keep a team together for a long amount of time to put out a polished product if you're not getting paid for it when it's something you're not polished.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, like I said, the Doom 3 Phobos has been in development now for a good decade. It's gone through so many people. It has a high turnover. I think it's settled on at the moment. The team's only recently entered what they call phase two. We can expect it to be out in another like 4 or 5 years or something like that. Don't hold me to it.
Yeah, or like outside of Doom, there was Black Mesa, Black Mesa Source, that was like going to be a remake. That was going to be a remake of Half-Life 1 in the Source engine, like Half-Life 2. And they actually released it up to the point where Gordon Freeman enters Zen. And it's actually really good. And that thing's been in development for about like 9 or 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's but that is actually, you could see the amount of effort that they put into it and stuff like that. And it's actually really, really, really good. But it shouldn't, I guess my point is, it really shouldn't take that amount of time. And I'm not sure whether it's the tools that are the problem or the fact that, you know, because the engine supports all these the fancy graphics and stuff like that, that it becomes, you know, like there's just more work that needs to be done.
It's just finding the people that are committed to do it.
Well, yeah.
Because Super Jamie and I did UAC Ultra 1 in about 4 months, and that won a CAC award. But we were really excited to work with each other, and we got the thing done like real quick because we just enjoyed what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it really shouldn't take as long as it does to make a mod like that.
Right.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing, is that I've mentioned it before with why Doom has longevity, is that Doom, you can just do whatever you want. You know, it's basic, easy. Once you get more advanced than Doom, you start exponentially adding the amount of work you have to do like a single room, to the point where, you know, people can't just jump into making stuff for, you know, modern games the same way. The only thing that even has like even remotely the same level of, you know, like just plug and play simplicity as Doom would be like Bethesda games, because they come with pre-built editors that have prefab stuff for everything.
Right, and it's almost drag and drop. Well, or maybe not drag and drop, but like they make their world out of like I think that's like their design flow. It's like, well, what do we need here? We need like a castle and a whole bunch of things here. It's like, well, let's make it in pieces, and then we just, if some things don't work out, we can adjust where the pieces are or whatever, and their entire engine is built around that. And that works when you have to add new things, yeah.
That works, yeah, but like anybody who goes into those games and wants to actually add new resources...
Oh, they got to do modeling and stuff, yeah.
Ridiculous amount of effort, so, you know, that's just what it is. You know, the more complex a product is, the harder it is for, you know, people who aren't versed in it to just jump in and make stuff for it.
And in the case of Doom 3, that basically leaves you with two options. You either, one, you make an Apple map set that sticks entirely to what the Doom 3 team had in mind when they were developing the game. You come up with another set of maps that is basically plays exactly like Doom 3. Or you go down the other route, you go down the long haul of developing something like the Dark mod, or Endarchy, which is a little bit different, sort of half departure. Or indeed, Doom 3 Phobos, in which case, you know, if you want to get all that new material inserted, it's going to take an extremely large amount of work. So you're faced with these two extremes. You can either play it easy, which incidentally still takes a long time, such as being the modern game as it is, or you go down the extremely long route, in which case you're not going to get very many mods at all, which is why we can only list the good ones on one hand.
Right. Oh, now that I think about it, I think the mod I did play that is sticking in my mind with Doom 3 was like, it was like Doom 3 Classic or whatever.
That's right.
Like, it was like, yeah, it was the name
of it.
That's
actually its title.
Yeah. Also on the modding note, I'm hoping that when Rise of the Triad comes out, the ease at which you add content to that game will hopefully be almost as easy as the original Rise of the Triad, because that was like tile based. I'm wondering if they're also going to do it like very prefab based, because if they can, that would actually help have its expansion by community. And I'm wondering if they're actually developing it with like, say, the like this Steam Workshop in mind or
right.
something like that. That would be really, really good.
Somebody designing a level for Rise of the Triad. I saw it by accident when I was looking for Rise of the Triad music because I played Hell Reveal the other day and now I can't get Rise of the Triad
too. Yeah.
But anyway, I searched for it and I came across like a video of watching somebody edit with Rise of the Triad, and it was fairly simple. Like he was designing like these castles, but when he was using the editor, he just kind of like pointed and clicked and was able to just create shapes. And then he could refine the details if he wanted to. But for the most part, he was just plotting very basic shapes to create the layout of the level. And then just went into detail and created all like the, you know, like shaping the stones that make up the castle and putting windows and all kinds of stuff like that. And it actually looked a lot easier than I would have expected for a game like that.
It might be a testament to, the Unreal tools rather than what they've kind of put together for making Rise of the Triad levels. I can't really speak for on behalf of the Unreal tools because I haven't used them. But from what I hear, they're actually very, very easy to use. And Epic has spent a lot of time in making the tools easy to use. And that's why we see so many, like, Unreal Engine or Unreal Development Kit types of independent titles and so on.
Oh,
and so forth.
That's like the easiest to use of all the, you know, modern engine types out there is Unreal.
Yeah. Like they put a ton of effort into actually creating a development community based around their engine, and that's really something that you know what, I would probably say id kind of drops the ball on. Like they put all their editors into their games, they make them available, but it's like they're still kind of a small shop, you know, so they don't really spend the time or the effort to do that. And that's, I guess, why their later titles are kind of not floundering, but there really isn't that much of a community pull or that sort of thing.
Yeah,
but,
incidentally, there are many games that are actually marketed and sold as community games. And that's
right.
the sort of way in which they encourage modification like that. And Doom just isn't a game like that. I mean, you
right.
can't say you have single-player and multiplayer outlets. It's more or less just an extension of the single-player. Go make maps if you want. I mean, you're not going to pull people in that way.
Right.
I mean, I'm not very familiar with most modern games, but I imagine there are many community-oriented ones that see a lot more modification.
Definitely.
They're aware that people are going to play.
Big Planet, isn't that one that's based almost entirely on community mapping for it?
Which one is this, sorry?
Little Big Planet.
You're right, there you go. There's an example. But that's to one extreme
end. Minecraft.
Again, that's another to the extreme end, because it's sold first as a sort of as a community outlet and then as a game.
Well, yeah, but Minecraft's a little bit different in that Minecraft is a game. Like, it's a complete package that you could just fuck around with if you want to. I mean,
right, yeah, I would say that it's what it allows the player to do, like say from a creativity level, but based around the game's rules is more along the lines of why it's popular and not so much like you could add stuff to the game, which would I guess increase its like longevity or whatever. Little Big Planet is definitely the example I would use for community makes it last longer.
Right,
and
I just haven't done anything in a while, so.
I'd say that a Little Big Planet was made with the community involvement in mind. Like they
right.
built around like people. They were like, well, we want to also get people to make their own maps and materials and importing stuff into the game, so we should make that happen. And it was built from the ground up to make that happen. And I think, dare I say, id probably did it surreptitiously with Doom. Like, they had a way of patching the game, like, also with, like, you know, the dash file command line option, and they put all their data in pieces, but I'm wondering if that was more along the lines of what they did during development versus what they intended.
They didn't really release
their tools, really, did they?
I don't believe so. And that could be a question for Sandy Peterson when Alfonso eventually gets off his lazy ass and secures him as a guest for Tango TV.
Oh, I have to. I need to be on top form for that to be the case, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Like, I need to make sure that I fix my sound card so it doesn't crash halfway through interview, because that would be embarrassing.
It would be. And we got to play Quake, too, since we never played that.
That's true. Yeah.
So, really, to bring this all to a close and wrap a nice little bow on this mediocre package that is Modern Doom. Really, again, I always say Doom is an experience that can't really be replicated. You know, there is no need for a new Doom 1 and Doom 2. We have Doom 1 and Doom 2. We're still
and we have source ports to make it like last forever, really.
Yeah, really. And, you know, it clearly still has a certain, you know, aspects of Doom in mind. Like, there are things in Doom 3 that if another company had made it, I think wouldn't be there. Like, the fact that the chain gun reloads in, like, 1 second. If it was, like, an Activision game, you'd have to pull the belt out and it'd be, like, at least a second reload. Things like that where it definitely still retains some aspects of their, you know, what made Doom great and, you know, that kind of school of design. But at the same time, I really don't see it making a Doom 1 or 2 experience again. Something that's that groundbreaking and amazing and... You know, I could see them doing it in the engine department, but not in the gameplay department.
I'm going to go out on a limb. Yeah, I'm going to say I partly disagree. I think they'll actually have the confidence, being in the position that they are, and observing, as I hope that they are, the sort of titles that are coming out at the moment, that should encourage them to take the extra risk and sort of revive some of the elements of the old that will fit in with the modern setting and make it that fresh sort of game that that pleases both fans of the old and a new audience. I think they can and probably will go that distance. I'm slightly apprehensive that they'll play it safe and will end up playing into the hands of the a vast majority of the public's opinion of what Doom once was, which is like a painkiller sort of Serious Sam clone, and come with a linear sort of shooter in that way. So that's my stance on that. Probably close with that.
I was thinking that maybe at this point it's kind of like a. You know how, like, people, like, come down on George Lucas for, like, still changing Star Wars and, like, you know, the original trilogy? Yeah, kind of. But I'm like, people remember what Star Wars 4, 5, and 6 were, and they were really, really good films. And then, like, 1, 2, and 3 came out, and that was completely under George Lucas's creative hand, and nobody really questioned him or challenged him during those movies, and that was kind of like, maybe we shouldn't let them make more Star Warses. But then, you know, now that Disney's kind of bought the franchise, I don't know, it's up in the air. Like, maybe Doom needs to trade hands. Maybe.
Doom needs maybe. To... Well, again, here's the thing, though. George Lucas, if George Lucas was entirely in charge for Star Wars 4, 5, and 6, Luke Skywalker would have been a giant, like, what was it, space?
Yeah, he would be like a space bug or something.
Yeah, there was a whole bunch of, like, the original George Lucas vision is a bunch of, okay, yeah, no, this guy needed somebody to, you know, keep him in line from the beginning.
Yeah, good old Spurgeon George Lucas.
But it's, you know, the IP, if you can add something, you know, if the IP has the core values in all of its games, which Doom's failed to because, you know, Doom 3 doesn't have Doom in it. It's just, you know, they're both set on Mars, but core gameplay is not the same between them. Whereas, like, Call of Duty, every Call of Duty game, you know, they have different features and gimmicks and whatnot, but every game at its core is the same game because they're all part of the same IP.
Yeah, well, the same thing with, like, Halo, but, like, it has the same type of, like, hold only two weapons at once, but you're, like, shooting things and everything, like, works really well together and it's fun and it's, like, just this nice little cohesive thing and that hasn't really seen, like, a lull. It's like, even though we criticize, I guess, we criticize companies these days of keep doing the same thing but with minor adjustments, isn't that kind of like what Doom to Doom 2 was? And that had received criticism for being like more of Doom 2 being an expansion pack of Doom 1, but we still liked it. The people that liked Doom still liked Doom 2. Maybe Doom 3 was just made at the wrong time, or in a place where it just experimented or just like gravitated away from something. I don't know.
Again, no, it's all about the core values of what you're trying to make. Like, Doom 2, if we're going to stick with the Call of Duty expansion, or the Call of Duty analysis, like, I don't like Modern Warfare 2 and 3, despite the fact that I think Modern Warfare 1 is a great fucking game, because they're just, like, lazy cash-ins. They don't add anything to the experience. It'd be like if Doom 2 had a black imp and the Hell Knight, and then it had, like, 10 levels. That's basically pretty much how I feel those games are. Versus something like Black Ops 2, which would be the Doom 2. It's still the same game as, you know, everything else in it, but it adds enough gimmicky shit, you know, new features, things that add, you know, this is worth $60 for this new experience, or, you know, I think it was called like 40.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm starting to think that maybe that's why a bunch of Z-Doom mods don't catch on. It's like, we have a Black Imp now, and it does a bunch of additional stuff. Like, there isn't just enough to be new. Like, people expect new with, like, those types of source ports, but there isn't enough new. So, I don't know. That's a different
I guess. Looking at Winter's Fury, Winter's Fury is a great mod because it's Doom, but it does its own thing. It's got, you know, it's got atmosphere, which we're talking about atmosphere in Doom 3. Winter's Fury's got a great atmosphere. It's got a great setting, and, you know, it doesn't overstay its welcome.
Right.
Now, you know, if I paid $50 for Winter's Fury, I'd be kind of like, why was it this way? But, you know, for a mod, it does everything I wanted it to do.
Right.
I have discovered that the mods that, for me, are most successfully depart from the Doom design at heart are the ones that also play the absurd card, like mods like realism.
Oh yeah, yeah.
For example,
yeah.
I think we were playing the Monochrome map. That's not Z-Doom, but it is actually that wasn't a map of Z-Doom. The Monochrome mapping project. I think that was Death X map, which was entirely black and white and outlined like cel shaded.
Yes, Death X map and map 18.
Right, yeah, that sort of departure is just either absurd or comical, and those are the ones that work for me. I'm not saying you can't do otherwise, but anyway, that's probably another discussion.
If you're going to depart from the core values of it, you have to do it
right,
in a way.
Okay, I guess it is relevant.
Yeah.
Any closing thoughts, 40 ounce?
One of the things I did want to mention that didn't come up is that I really hope that Doom 4 kind of pushes away from like the movie cinematic series, like the interactive movie experience that most games, especially sequels, are. I've seen starting with like Half-Life 2, and I saw a trailer for Killzone. What is it, 3 or 4 that's coming out for the new PS, the new PlayStation? Almost every game starts off with this huge introduction where everybody's like congratulating you for being or for like returning because you were the hero of the last game, and everybody's like sucking your dick, and like you just kind of walk really slowly through like this like giant parade of people like cheering you on and being like really happy for you, and then
it's Gordon Freeman.
yeah, exactly. And then like shortly after that, the bad guys return, and I don't know. It's especially what I've seen in especially the latest Killzone. It's really hard to determine what is actually the gameplay and what is like the scripted sequences of the game. And I really hope that Doom 4 does not do that. But I don't know. It might be inevitable.
I liked Half-Life 2's. Actually, I would like to say I liked Half-Life 2's implementation of that concept because they never ever took control away from the player. And when they did, it was so very, very, in such short amount of times that like it was almost as though it never happened to begin with. And they played it up very minimalist, so that's why I kind
of
liked it.
Sort of, but I still felt like the way they designed the first parts, where they kind of had you enclosed in these tiny rooms where you couldn't like really do anything besides, like, pick up Chinese takeout boxes and throw them at guards. That's pretty much all you can do. And if you watch any videos of people playing Half-Life 2, like, the third or 50th time, I don't know how long they've been playing the game. But if you watch them playing it from the start, you see them, like, jumping around, like, maniacally all over the place, like, jumping on people's heads because they just want to move on. And I think it's really discouraging that that video games have that introduction phase where they have to explain everything to you. And, like, I mean, there's a point where we know how to play a video game. Like, video games have been around for 20, 30 years. Like, we know what to expect.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. It's awfully surprising as well, I mean, considering the high turnover how quickly the new generations move on. And, you know, new titles are being released, the churn out rate. I'm surprised that they continue to include those sort of tutorial mock-ups at the start of the game.
Well, that's more at the behest of publishers, I would think, like because we need to hook new people, and those new people probably haven't played a video game before. And but, like, you know, back then, not everybody knew, you know, how to convey how to play the game in the game.
Like, follow the flashlight with your mouse cursor.
Like, 2000 to, like, 2010 type of thing. Like, everybody remembers the military boot camp level that every Call of Duty game... No.
Absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Incidentally, that setup was parodied, I think, in one of the only modern games I've ever played, which was with times when I think that was Portal 2, in which you were instructed to look at the ceiling, look at the floor, look at the painting, and just felt ridiculous and absurd doing it. And
I think that was the point though.
the funny enough, like that segment hasn't been in Call of Duty for three games. Like, they're getting phased out now, and talking about, like, conveying to the player how to play the game, I think old-school games probably had a lot better conveyance than modern games, because it was basically just, here's your controller, you only have so many buttons, what does what, here's, you know, it's not that hard to figure out how to play a game.
Yeah, all in right, Doom, there's open doors, there's shoot stuff, and there's move, and that's all you get.
Right.
There are only so many keys you can press in Doom to figure it out. Anyway, we're going to close it off here. Thanks very much for everyone to participate in this Program B episode, particularly 40 Amps, who's been boundlessly enthusiastic of the entire process. And no doubt we'll have you feature on some future episodes as well. Absolutely. Thanks again to Matt Tropiano, who will be joining us in future for an interview with Natural Eternity, which I still haven't arranged for some bizarre reason.
I want to hear that so bad.
I actually have questions sent in from you, so we'll be able to get on top of that. Also, I think we have two more interviews lined up after that with Joe Pillai, I think I pronounced his name correctly.
Oh, cool.
And Adam Windsor, which, of course, will be a spectacular feast for the ears. Also to announce that unless you didn't catch on the forums, or I don't know, you can't read, you should really get that checked out. We are changing the scheduling for these episodes. They'll now be broadcast every fortnight on a Saturday, unless there's some obvious intrusions like, you know, broken limbs or nuclear apocalypse or something. Other than that,
or another hurricane. It is hurricane season.
I was planning to
hurricane season
next Friday. I don't know if that's going to be inconvenient for anybody, but I do have a large stockpile of nuclear warheads ready to go, so...
I'm going to have to try to stop you.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us, and remember that just play Doom 1 and 2, and if Doom 4 sucks, oh well, it's not going to hurt you in any way.